Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Tim Dillon Show. We are here and we are going to discuss the news of the day. And we are going to treat it with respect because a lot of people forget these are real people that we talk about all the time here. And these people deserve respect. And that's what we do. We give them respect. I don't know anything about the Gnome household. I don't know Christy Gnome. I know she shot her dog in the face. And then she kind of made a mess of the Homeland Security thing. Now she's got a husband named Byron, and he likes cross-dressing. And he likes having the big tits, the milkers. So now he was, he's been dressing up and paying adult entertainers to talk dirty, I guess, in like a chat room or something. Gnome husband paid $25 a minute for dirty talk as she reveals his unusual kink. Gnome's cross-dressing husband, Byron Gnome, paid online models up to $25 a minute to talk dirty to him, and he was a needy client with an unusual kink for yoga pants, according to one of the women. Gnome, the longtime husband of former Homeland Security Secretary Christy Gnome, was exposed for living a cross-dressing double life in the bimbofication fetish scene after the Daily Mail published salacious photos of Gnome with massive fake breasts. Lydia Love, a webcam model on the website CamSoda, definitely remembers Gnome's face, but said there's no way I could ever forget those fake boobs. She told the Times of London of the 56-year-old father of three who was one of her clients. Well, what is this? Iran hacked all of these people, and they got Kesh Patel dancing, and they got this guy out with his tits. The cam girl said Gnome liked to play the submissive role in the chats where he paid up to, we paid $25 a minute. He would try to talk more feminine. His kink was yoga pants. Love, who's called a femdom in online communities, told the Times he wanted to be the star of the show and really show off. I would hype him up. Some people are just looking for that. He wants a little attention. His wife is running Homeland Security poorly, but she's running it. And he, to get attention, he's got to strap on a pair of fake tits and go into a chat room and be the star of the show. And he's got to pay $25 a minute for someone to hype him up. That should be the wife's job. Christy Gnome should be hyping him up. But instead, he's got to pay. He could be frustrating during the chat sessions, which typically lasted about 10 minutes, she said, because he was not very good at being submissive. He's got to learn. The problem was he was constantly trying to direct the cam girls to tell him what to do. If you want to be dominated by a woman, let me dominate you, she said. Why are you telling me to tell you to do all this? But what stands out the most is the comically large balloon breasts that were plastered all over the news this week. And what did Gnome say about this? What was her response? So what? My husband likes to strap on, what do they call this, a G cup?
I think those are H.
This is H?
I think so.
I thought we got G on Amazon. Didn't we pay for G?
It might
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H. Oh, H is bigger than G.
Yes.
H is bigger than G. Oh, good. I don't know the alphabet. So I thought H, but so we got these. Now, how much did these on Amazon run us?
I think they were like $200.
I'm just imagining being in a suburban home and then strapping these on. I'm imagining this. My wife is at Homeland Security and she's on the news all day, right? So that's annoying. The bitch is out of the house and then you turn on the TV and there she is again in some weird, you know, ice glam outfit, you know, throwing, people in a truck. And then I'm like sitting in my suburban house and I'm like, and the kids are out doing whatever they're doing. And I'm like, let me strap on these big, what? H cups?
Yeah.
Let me strap on these big H cups and then log on and then get dommed by Lydia Love. But I don't even know how to do it because I'm telling Lydia Love what to tell me to do. And what did Christy Noem have to say about this? Because I'm wondering if she knew this. You know, maybe she didn't. I imagine she felt it's hard to hide these tits, right? What do? Put them in a box under all the Christmas decorations? What do you do with a pair of H tits? You got to put them somewhere. Christy Noem weighs in on report husband lives cross-dressing double life. The family was blindsided by this. Miss Noem is devastated. The family was blindsided by this, and they asked for privacy and prayers at this time. What am I supposed to pray? I'm supposed to pray for this guy in his tits? So wait a minute. All the horror that's happening in the world, people are literally being vaporized by machines of death, flying, you know, in the air. We're bombing schoolgirls while they sit in class, and I'm supposed to pray for Christy Noem's husband and his H-cup tits? That's where the direction my prayers are supposed to go in? When the people in Gaza are wandering around trying to find grain so they can bake a loaf of bread, I'm supposed to pray for Christy Noem's husband and his big tits? Well, no, I will not pray for your husband and his big tits. How about that? You can pray for his big tits. Do you think she threw the tits out? Was she like, give me those tits? Give me those tits. You don't want to fuck me anymore. You just want to talk to women online with your tits on. I'm out here causing havoc in the streets. And I come home and you got big tits. You know she knew about this and you knew they fought about it. Byron, I found your tits. I found your big fat tits. You want me to have big tits like that? Well, I don't have those big tits. According to the Daily Mail, Byron Noem chatted up a woman from the so-called bimbofication fetish scene, which adult performers augment their breasts with massive amounts of saline to achieve a Barbie doll-like appearance. Well, that's what they keep calling her, Ice Barbie, so she's not at home, and this guy, he wants to be the bimbo. He wants to be objectified and dommed. And listen, they've all got weird, a lot of these people have weird kinks, and they surface at inopportune times, right? This is not the best time. She was just fired, isn't she? Was fired, so she's fired, and now she should be kind of out of the news. She should be out of the news, except her husband's online with an H cup. Maybe he had big. Can you get his tits up? Because his tits are bigger than the tits we bought off Amazon. And I'm kind of mad about that. Maybe, maybe not. Well, no, it seems similar. I got to be honest with you. His tits. Oh, wow. I mean, look at how big those are. Do you think those are there? Is there bigger than an H cup? Do you think that's an H guy? I don't know what kind of tits he's got, but they look bigger than mine.
I mean, yours say H, but like they were ordered as H, but I don't think they're quite actually H.
Interesting.
We just got them off Amazon.
You can't trust anyone anymore. You can't. I mean, that guy's tits are out of control. These are out of control tits, and he's just sitting there, and he's going online. And she goes, we were blindsided by, the family was blindsided by this. And she's got to tell the kids. I don't know how old the kids are. It's not a nice thing to find out. Listen, a lot of people are going to talk about the fact that your mother shot a dog and also, you know, was the Department of Homeland Security during a very tumultuous time in our country's history. But also people are going to bring up the fact that your father loves to put on big bimbo tits and talk to random women online. But listen, we love you. We love you, and we're here for you. No matter what happens, we're here for you. And Noem was banging Corey Lewandowski. So she's cheating on her husband, and he's got these big tits on. Well, that's nice. You know, folks, I don't know what to tell you. This is our country. and you should be proud of it. You have to be proud of your country no matter what state or condition it's in. Do you understand that? You have to be proud of your country no matter what it looks like, no matter if your Homeland Security director is cheating on her husband, and in response to that, he's on bimbo fetish websites with a massive pair of tits on, just trying to get dommed out. You have to be proud of your country. It doesn't matter what it looks like. You can't expect perfection from people. You really can't. His fetish was 3,000 cc plus boobs, according to one of the models who communicated extensively with him. What a great word, extensively. There's a reference to custom-made XXL implants that can hold more than 3,000 cubic centimeters of saline per breast, far greater than surgeons typically recommend. So I don't think I have those. I think we just went on Amazon and got whatever we could get. His kink is for huge, ridiculous boobs. He wants ridiculous, massive tits. And he wants to wear them and feel what it's like to be an objectified bimbo. He's sick of being the man and wearing the pants all the time. He wants to be a bimbo, an objectified bimbo with big, silly tits. In text and audio calls, a pair shared everything from mundane daily chit-chat to spicy banter about her augmented chest. How are your boobs? He asked her. Would you ever go bigger? The model sent him an array of topless selfies and lingerie shots. Jason apparently felt relaxed enough to reciprocate with photos of himself wearing skimpy outfits and lopsided DIY breasts. You turn me into a girl, he said. Should I put on leggings? A PayPal account belonging to Jason Jackson sent the woman regular deposits between $500 and $1,000. She says he openly admitted to having a wife and family. He'd say, I love my wife. I want to get better. Then he'd disappear, come back, and start again. Over time, models began to figure out the real identity of their shadowy benefactor. I was completely shocked. I said, why are you doing this? I didn't think hot guys did this. He said he didn't care. I said, you should care. Your wife could lose everything she's worked for. I love that like some woman in a fetish website is telling him this. The second woman had read about Christie's alleged affair with Lewandowski, a longtime GOP operative who married 9/11 widow Allison Hardy in 2005 and has four children. I asked him about it, and his response was, I know, there's nothing I can do about it. You have to be proud of your country, no matter what's going on. You have to be proud of your country. You have to release yourself from being hypercritical. You have to just accept that these are the people that are running the show, and they're not happy. They're unhappy people. And I have no problem with fetishes. I have no problem with any of this. I don't care. I don't love this fetish just because it's very heavy. These tits are heavy. I'd love the not bombing of the children in the school. That to me is the no-no here. And I don't want to get involved in Christy Noem's marriage or lack thereof. I don't love the shooting of the protesters in the face. But it's not my business to get involved with this woman's marriage and her husband, Byron, and his tits. I am a little jealous. They're bigger than mine. Fucking Amazon. But here's the deal. You have to just, you know, take it as it comes. And, you know, this is an embarrassment for their family. But own it. Own it. She's trying to shrink from the limelight and saying, well, just thoughts and prayers. And, you know, it's blindsided our family. She should have said, my husband likes tits, big tits, bigger tits than you could even imagine. Tits so big, they're cartoonish and silly. He wants to be fetishized. He wants to be made into a bimbo. He goes online with his big tits, and I'm cheating on him. And that's our family, and stay the fuck out of it. Stay the fuck out of it. We're the family values people. I mean, these tits are... Trump removed her from the cabinet 2 months later amid bipartisan criticism of her clumsy efforts to label the victims Renee Good and Alex Pretty domestic terrorists. And insiders also say the president was furious after Noem told Congress he had approved $220 million, 165 million euro advertising campaign for her riding a horse at Mount Rushmore. Mark Wayne Mullen, a conservative senator from Oklahoma, has since replaced her at the DHS, while Noem has become special envoy for the Shield of the Americas. The Shield of the Americas, an initiative created by Trump to strengthen international security in both North and South America. The newly created role, widely seen as a soft landing, involves being a liaison with Latin American governments to fight drug cartels. Well, listen, I mean, I wish them well. I enjoy them. I enjoy them. I'm defending them. I'm defending them because someone needs to defend them. They are getting totally destroyed online. They really are. This guy's totally getting destroyed online. And I just want to, here at the Tim Dillon Show, we want to support Byron Noam, his fetish journey, his objectification journey, his journey of cartoonishly large breasts, his yoga pants fetish where he likes his tight yoga pants and his big tits. He just likes his tight yoga pants and his big tits. We need to move past this and be proud of it as a country. This is something we must look to, and we must look to it with pride. It's a modern marriage. It's a modern marriage. She's with someone else. He's having fun online with his big tits. These are so fucking heavy. I was going to do the whole episode with them, and I can't. I'm going to have to take them off in a minute. But I can imagine just being Kristi Noem's husband and sitting in the house, sitting in a little room while she's out there, you know, calling people that got shot in the face terrorists. And I'm just sitting there with a cam girl, and I'm like, how big are your tits? Would you ever consider them being bigger? Did you ever think of your tits being so big you couldn't walk? You had to get moved around in a wheelchair? Because that's what I'm into. A woman with tits so big she's on a TLC show. They're so big she can't get out of the chair without help. Do you think we could get there? Could we start here and get to a point where your tits completely immobilize you? And it looks like my 600-pound life, but with just tits. And you lay on your bed and your tits are so big, one of them suffocates you in the middle of the night and kills you. That's the kind of tits I'm into. Big tits. And yoga pants. Yoga pants and big tits. Now, if he was a man, he would walk around like this in public. No, truly. If you're a man, you walk around like this in public in yoga pants with these tits. Byron Noam supported his wife last month by sitting dutifully with her at a congressional hearing scrutinizing her aggressive immigration enforcement tactics. He's showing up for her. She needs to show up for him. I'm not an expert on marriage, but he showed up for her. She needs to show up for him. She needs to show up for him and say, my husband did not hurt anybody by wearing yoga pants with balloon tits. And in fact, he was financially helping the cam girls. What about the cam girl economy that my husband was helping with his yoga pants and balloon tits? He shows up for me, I show up for him. What about Lydia Love? What's her name, Lydia Love?
Yeah.
What about Lydia Love? He shows up for me, I show up for him. This is what I would do. If I were Kristi Noem, I would call a press conference tomorrow and I'd put on the tits. I'd have the yoga pants and the tits, and he'd come out and he'd have the yoga pants and the tits. And she would say, this is my husband and I love him just the way he is. This is my husband, Byron, and I love him just the way he is. You know why? Because he showed up for me and now I'm showing up for him. He sat there while Congress scrutinized me because those two people got shot in the face. But I'm here to tell you that I love him. I love his big, silly tits. And he would start to smile because he wants to be a fetish bimbo. So he's going to be all silly. She'd say, she'd go over to him and she'd just, you know, start bumping her fake tits with his tits and go, I love his big, silly tits. And that's what we call him around the house. We call him big, silly tits. You love those big, silly tits, don't you, Daddy? And then he looks at her and he goes, I do. I like these big, silly tits. And she goes, you like these tits? You like mommy's tits? And then they both just start kind of going like this and the tits are flying and they're both in yoga pants. And that's a beautiful statement to people out there like me who come from divorced homes. Because I hate to see when a home is broken. Do you understand that? I don't want to see when a home is broken, a broken home. I want to see people stay together. Trump shocked to hear about cross-dressing husband of Kristi Noem. He goes, that's too bad. They confirmed it? Wow. Well, I feel bad for the family if that's the case. That's too bad. I haven't seen anything. I don't know anything about it. That's too bad. But I just know nothing about it. So what? So what? They should have held a press conference and they should have told the country to mind their own fucking business. Leave my husband's tits alone. Mind your fucking business. My husband's tits are my family's problem. I'll deal with my husband's tits. I'll deal with my husband's tits in good time. I know my husband had a thing with tits. He likes wearing big tits around the house. No marriage is perfect, by the way, and no marriage, you make sacrifices in any marriage. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. You think it's all going to be perfect? You think it's all going to be your wedding night or your engagement photos on Instagram? No. Here's what it becomes. You're the head of Homeland Security. A woman just got shot in the face. You call her a terrorist. And your husband's got size H tits. And he's on with cam girls getting dommed. That's what marriage is. That's what it is, kids. Listen up. What do you think it is?
Well, I had someone at the beach and they were in the tall grass and nobody knew. And I got proposed to and he had his friend there. Like, I didn't even know. And his friend was taking photos. And like the exact moment I said, yes, it was captured. And it was like, it's the most amazing engagement photo. It's like so real. I was literally crying. And it was just the greatest moment of my life.
That's not what marriage is. That's 1% of marriage. The other 99% of marriage is discovering your husband's fake tits with blood on your hands. That's the other 99% of marriage. The blood of Alex Preddy is on your hands and you pick up your husband's saline tits. That's the other 99%. And you don't quit. You go on. You move on. You don't quit. You're having an affair. You've got tits on and we're all murderers here. It doesn't matter. That's marriage. What's for dinner? What's for dinner? Because at the end of the day, when your head hits the pillow and your husband, and you know those big tits are in the closet and you know he spent time fapping his cock in those yoga pants to some fucking cam girl, and you know that you were fucking someone else, and you know that you were justifying the murder of American citizens on U.S. soil by a paramilitary group. But when your head hits the pillow, that's your husband, okay? And that's your wife, and you're going to wake up, and you're going to go downstairs with the kids, and you're going to scramble the eggs, and you're going to fry the bacon, and you're going to toast the toast. And that's your life. Your life isn't those other things, the murder you defend or this fake cartel thing they've got you involved in now, some weird consolation prize. Anyway, that's your life. I don't usually give love advice on the show. I really don't. I usually don't, because I let people do their own thing. But here I have to step in and I have to say, don't even think about a divorce here, because it's not worth it. There's real love here. I don't know anything about the gnomes, but I know it's a marriage built on love. And I know that you're an example to young people around this country who think it's all going to be nice. You think it's all going to be your best friends eating spicy tuna crispy rice, talking about your honeymoon? The fuck it is, sister. Your husband has fake tits on and he's jerking his cock to a cam girl. And you're shooting your dog in the face. And now you're the leader of the Department of Homeland Security. What the fuck happened? Who knows? You're making plastic surgery appointments in between state-sanctioned murders. That's what life is for real. That's what it is for real. It's not eating spicy tuna crispy rice with your girlfriend. It's going, oh my God, it was amazing. The hotel was amazing. It was amazing. It was so beautiful. It was so nice. We had dinner on the beach and like we were worried because it was windy during the day, but then like the wind calmed down and then like they bring out, like there was like a literal band and they played music on the beach and they were like, get up and dance. And you know, like Jeff's like, he's like shy. Like people don't know that about Jeff because he seems really outgoing, but he's really shy. And they like, they got him up and we did like a dance on the beach and there was like other couples there and everybody was kind of dancing and we got a little drunk and like, it was super, hey, wake up from your dream, Cinderella. Wake the fuck up from your dream. Cause the chariot's about to turn into not one pumpkin, but two big pumpkin tits on your husband's fucking chest. Cause that's what real life is, you murderer. Well, as always, we wish Christy Gnome well. Friend of the show, Christy Gnome Byron Gnome, the whole Gnome fan. We wish them well. And that's why we don't come on here and make light of this. I don't make light of it. I'm a serious person and I understand. You don't make light of this. You don't make light of what's going on in our government. It's our government. All right. I got to put these tits away. Bye. Ethos makes getting life insurance fast and easy. 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. There's no medical exam. You just answer a few health questions. Simple, easy. You can get up to $3 million in coverage. Some policies as low as $30 a month. You get your lowest rate from their network of trusted carriers. Ethos has 4.8 out of 5 stars on Trustpilot with 4,000 reviews. 10 minutes to get covered today with life insurance through Ethos. Get your free quote at ethos.com/Tim. That's ethos.com/Tim. Application times may vary. Rates may vary. It's so important to get life insurance. You never know what's going to happen. You want to protect your friends, your family, your children, your wife, your husband, the people that you care about in your life. You want to make sure they're taken care of in the event of an accident, something terrible happening. We can all be responsible citizens by going to Ethos. Ethos getting makes life insurance like easy and fun and free. It's not free. I'm sorry. Ethos makes getting life insurance good. It's so cheap. It's cheap. Insure your life. Insure your life. Let me be honest. The cost of living isn't just high. It's exhausting. If you've been leaning on credit cards lately just to cover the basics like groceries, gas, and utility bills, you're essentially paying a survival tax of 20% interest or more. Why keep handing your hard-earned paychecks to the big banks when you can keep it to your family? My friends at American Financing have a better way. They're helping homeowners tap into their equity to pay off high-interest debt with mortgage rates currently in the fives. On average, American Financing is saving their customers $800 a month. That's nearly $10,000 a year in your pocket. It's not just a loan. It's a total financial reset. It takes just 10 minutes to find out what you could save. There are no upfront fees and no obligation to talk to a salary-based mortgage consultant. Here's the kicker. Start today and you can even delay two mortgage payments. American Financing, America's home for home loans, 866-5350. That's 866-5350 or AmericanFinancing.net/Dillon, D-I-L-L-O-N. Pam Bondi. Oh, another soldier down. Pam Bondi was fired as Attorney General. Her reign will be remembered and history will regard her as a heroine, as a hero, as someone who took no prisoners. Literally, she didn't arrest anyone. And she came in, guns a-blazing, and as soon as those guns got in, they stopped a-blazing. They weren't blazing that much. She will be replaced by Attorney General Todd Blanche. You know him. He's the guy that got Ghislaine Maxwell moved to that cushy prison. So it's all going well. The president wrote on Truth Social that Bondi would be transitioning to a much-needed and important new job in the private sector. She's a great American patriot, a loyal friend who faithfully served as my Attorney General for over the past year. Pam did a tremendous job overseeing a massive crackdown in crime across our country, with murders plummeting to their lowest level since 1990. There's a lot of reasons for that, by the way. The average age in America is like 40. It's not 20. But I mean, very little of that has to do with Pam Bondi. A lot of the kind of wacky COVID stuff where they just completely, you know, took money from cops and stuff has been reversed. They've reversed a lot of those laws. They've started prosecuting misdemeanors and things like that again. And, you know, so there's a reason the crime has dropped, because a lot of those insane policies were reversed. But Pam Bondi had nothing to do with that at all, like at all. They didn't love her handling of the Epstein files. And she really didn't prosecute enough of his political opponents. And then he was mad at her about something that he basically had like a gripe with her about, something that didn't really have anything to do with Epstein although they weren't happy with the way she handled that, they thought that she was not like covering it up quickly enough, or that she made some kind of like statements that confused people, which is true. It was confusing. But he had this little beef with her, like this little gripe about something or other that he ended up firing her for. And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't primarily because of the Epstein files, which people have kind of moved on, because now we're in Iran and it's World War III. So, I mean, people have really kind of moved on from that. All the Google searches have like fallen off completely. The country has moved on, which it shouldn't be, because, you know, that's a massive story and all of those files should be out. That makes sense. But no one, you know, people are kind of moving on, and that she is, Trump's reasoning for the sudden dismissal comes in part because the president believes Bondi tipped off Eric Swalwell about the FBI's efforts to release investigative or documents related to his relationship with an alleged Chinese spy. So that ticked him off, and Eric Swalwell has openly criticized Bondi since she took the AG position. And I think, is he running for governor of California? I believe he's running for governor of California, unless I'm completely lost, which I may be, because I just had fake tits strapped onto me, which really does affect the back. He's running for governor of California, and is he a congressman? Maybe a senator? I don't know what he is, but Bondi...
He's a congressman.
Yeah, he's a congressman. And then Bondi, I guess, tipped him off to Trump, whatever, maybe have had. So he was unhappy with her, and then he threw her out, and he threw her to the dogs. But Pam Bondi, make no mistake, is one of the most heroic figures in our country to pedophiles. You know, to wealthy and well-connected pedophiles. She really will be remembered as someone who did everything she could to protect and insulate them from any type of consequences for their actions. And she knew her days were numbered. She was supposedly begging for her job. You know, people didn't like her handling of the Epstein files. She made mistake upon mistake of her, you know, in her handling of the Epstein files. Her critics were in the president's ear. They thought, with this whole Epstein thing, by the way, that because they treat their base like morons. And some of them are. Some of every political base obviously is made up of people that are like low information voters who don't know anything, who like the vibe of a particular candidate. And they thought they could kind of like, you know, just sweep it under the rug and that nobody would care. And, you know, Pam Bondi, it was the most, you know, remember they had all those Republican influencers show up. They gave them binders of the first batch of Epstein files to be released, and all these morons are standing there with these binders full of nothing, and there's all these photos. And then quickly it was figured out that that was just completely fake, and you didn't have to be that bright to know that, and nobody has to be a genius to realize that there's a massive cover-up, like a global cover-up. Except the home of the cover-up is here in the United States of America. Like, I think, you know, like, Prince Andrew's going to get charged. Like, people are resigning in other countries. They're leaving boards. They might face criminal prosecution. In America, nobody's faced any consequences, legal or otherwise. So Pam Bondi is kind of the face of that with the rest of the administration. And... you know, who's this? Oh, yeah, take a look at this. Remember this clown show? So you have all these Republican influencers walk out with these binders. I mean, this is like school play level. It's like going to see a school play that sucks and it's not cute and... it's just like a pageant of untalented children and you're bored and you want to leave. That's what that scene of these Republican influencers walking out of the White House with these like binders full of nothing, phase one release of the Epstein files, you were like, well, this is a cartoon. And then they do release some of them. People start reading through some of these things going, whoa. This like talks about a dimension of power most people don't even know exists. And then they're like, well, fuck it. Iran needs a new government. They got nukes. Iran has nukes. We have to go in there and liberate people of Iran. And we got to forget about the Epstein files. And then we're going to get rid of Pam Bondi. We're going to get rid of Noam. He's going to fire everyone. He's going to fire everybody, by the way. Pam Bondi's portrait was taken down at DOJ and tossed in a trash bin soon after her firing. Isn't that nice? What's cool about the way that these people get fired is they're actually fired. They're fired. Their pictures are thrown in the trash. And that's the reason why a lot of these people were hired to be fired. Like a lot of the administration was hired so that he could then, because they will not invoke the 25th Amendment on him. They'll let him do what he wants. And then he is going to turn around and fire them when he wants to, when and if he, like, you know, wants to. And he'll do it in a public way, in a humiliating way, even though he did kind of, it was kind of a nice statement here, but, you know, that's, let's see how long that lasts. And they say Kash Patel might be next. That's that his head is on the chopping block. Can you get up? You know, Iran hacked his, email. And there's that dancing video. Can you get up that Kash Patel dancing video? He's next. I'm gonna call that right now, and I could be wrong, but I think Kash Patel's not long for the White House. They're gonna throw him out. He's not long for Washington. I could be wrong, but all of these people are gonna be, by the way, by the midterms, a lot of them will be gone, and they'll all be, hey, these are the fall guys. We had a bunch of people in there that didn't do the right thing. Kash Patel, everyone, friend of the show, take a look at this. By the way, not completely untalented. Take a look at the moves. Hey. What is this? Is this some type of ritual? This is the ritual. This is a ritual, by the way. Miriam Adelson is sitting in the corner, and she's judging his dance. Miriam Adelson, and she's holding up a number based on how good he's doing. And the better he does, it'll be started 4, and then she'll be like 6, then it'll be like 9. This seems like some type of ritual, some humiliation. This is the director of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, by the way. This isn't like an improv comedian or this isn't like an extra on Reno 911. This is the director of the Federal Bureau of Investigation doing a dance. But by the way, not, and I believe it's is that a traditional Indian dance?
I think so.
It looks like a traditional Indian dance. Let's watch it again because I actually don't dislike it as a dance. I don't dislike this as a dance. And by the way, it's not nothing, because by the way, I've danced, I was on, you know, Broadway shows, not really Broadway, but whatever, theater, same thing, not really. But I can spin around like that, but it's hard not to get dizzy, and I'm pretty light on my feet, and I can dance, I'll tell you, it's not easy. And seeing his talent for dancing, and I think they saw this video and went, this guy's not going to find out who killed Charlie Kirk. There's no way. Play it again. They're looking at this video. I will never not play this, by the way. Yeah, this guy's not going to figure out who killed Charlie Kirk. Pretty good. He's doing like, yeah, it's not bad. He's acting it out. He's got the butt moving. Not bad at all. So what? So what? You got Noam with her fake tits, and you got this guy doing a traditional Indian dance in some hotel suite where God only knows who is watching and filming this, by the way. God only knows who is watching and filming this. How about conversion therapy for him? I mean, I don't know what. Can we convert him to like the head of the FBI, actually? Like a serious person? Hims is big. I'm telling you right now, everybody loves it. If something's been off in the bedroom, you're not the only one. A lot of guys wait longer than they need to take action. The difference, getting real treatment is simple. And through Hims, it's 100% online. Hims connects you with licensed healthcare providers, giving you simple access to legitimate ED treatment options from home. No awkward appointments or pharmacy lines. Just complete a simple online intake and your provider will review your information to determine if treatment is right for you. And if that option isn't right for you, there are additional treatment options available. So you can find what works and what works best for your body. It's straightforward, transparent, designed to make getting care feel easy. To get simple online access to personal affordable care for ED, hair loss, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Tim. That's hims.com/Tim for your free online visit. hims.com/Tim. Prescription required. See website for details and important safety information. Sildenafil is a generic for version of Viagra. Viagra is a registered trademark. Viatris Specialty LLC. Hims is not affiliated with or endorsed by Viatris. You know, I know that the Supreme Court has reversed the conversion therapy thing, which I think is pretty insane. Although I don't think, listen, if your kid is having gender things, should they be able to see a therapist? And the therapist should be able to talk with them. And like the therapist shouldn't have to go, you know, therapists should be able to work through things with kids without being, you know, it's like if you're five and you go, hey, I'm a girl, the therapist should be able to go, okay, like, let's work that out. Why do you feel like that? This, that, and the other thing. I don't think the therapist should be legally required to go, that's it, you're a girl. But I don't know that that's what was happening either. But this whole idea that like gay people are going to go back to the closet and that women are going to not vote. I mean, it's just not, none of this is realistic, but it's all the Republicans really have left because, you know, they've done nothing they said they were going to do. And now they're going to cut Medicare and all of these programs so that we can fund the military. And we're going to have like a $1.2 trillion military budget, which is the exact opposite of what they said they were going to do. And this administration of morality is led by a thrice married gambling tycoon, Kristi Noem with her husband's fake tits, and then Kash Patel, who was like doing some like bacha bazi, like, you know, Afghan boy dance to please some warlord. I mean, I don't know what's going on over there. I don't know what's going on over there, but AOC is going to waltz right in and I'm going to pay 90% of my money. It just is what it is. I've accepted it. AOC is going to show up to my house every month and put a gun right in my mouth and take all of my money. And that's okay, because I'm going to be in a turban and I don't give a shit. I'm going to be walking around in a full burqa. That's where we're going. The White House seeks $1.5 trillion for defense in new budget request. I mean, again, this is, they want to convert the country into a war economy. This is what this whole thing was about. It was about winning so that they could hand all these government contracts to Palantir and all of these other companies, and they could go and topple regimes all over the world and take their resources. And by the way, it's the last gasp of the American empire. This is it. This is the tipping point. We're being exposed a little bit in Iran. Iran's ability to hit our bases, I've said it before, but this has been shocking to people. I've spoken to smart people about this, and they're all pretty astounded at Iran's ability to fight back. Iran's been preparing for this for a very long time. And, you know, we always see ourselves as a military powerhouse, and we are to a degree, but this has not gone well. No one who is a serious person will tell you that this has gone well. It's exposed weaknesses in our intelligence, in our decision-making capability, in our overall military strategy with regard to Iran. This has exposed a lot of fault lines in the American empire's ability to maintain an empire, which it seems like it can't. It seems like it won't be maintaining an empire for much longer, but we're upping the military budget to $1.5 trillion and you won't have health care. You're not going to have child care for your children. You're not going to have the money to go to college and learn how to be a nurse or a physical occupational therapist, or, you know, you're not going to be able to have the money to put gas in your car to go to work and like feed your family. Instead, we want $1.5 trillion so that we can go around the globe toppling empires and trying to suck up their resources. And it's the complete opposite of what these people said. Here's Trump, by the way. And by the way, you can't ignore the Israel connection in this. You can't ignore Netanyahu, and you can't ignore the people that put Trump into office and the people that gave him lots of money. And here's Trump talking about that there's not going to be any more daycare or Medicaid because of the war.
Because the United States can't take care of daycare. That has to be up to a state. We can't take care of daycare. We're a big country. We have 50 states. We have all these other people. We're fighting wars. We can't take care of daycare. You got to let a state take care of daycare, and they should pay for it, too. They should pay. They have to raise their taxes, but they should pay for it. And we could lower our taxes a little bit to them to make up. But it's not possible for us to take care of daycare. Medicaid, Medicare, all these individual things, they can do it on a state basis. You can't do it on a federal. We have to.
It's the greatest con in history. By the way, it's the greatest con in history. I mean, truly, it's the greatest. It's the, and I don't say great in like a good way. It is truly the most successful con in history. It makes Enron look like a guy doing three-card Monty on the street. Anything that you can remember and identify as a complete and utter scam, this is the greatest con in history. To run as an America first, and you're going to take care of America, and then turn around and go, you know, all of these things, daycare, Medicare, Medicaid, we have nothing to do with that. We're fighting wars. That's what we're here to do. We're here to have a defense budget of $1.5 trillion, and we're here to fight wars. It is the greatest scam in history. You got to hand it to him. And I mean, truly, and not in, you know, again, not in like a, not in a moral way, but like you got to hand it to him. This is the greatest about face in political history that I have really ever seen. It is the greatest scam. It has taken in people. I believe J.D. Vance, when he came on my show and said, we want to stay out of Middle Eastern wars, Donald Trump's first term did not have real, I mean, he killed Qasem Soleimani, I'm mispronouncing that, whatever, but he was not running all over the world and doing this. There's a lot of things about Trump's first term to criticize, but he was not doing this. So this is surprising to a lot of people. And by the way, it's surprising to me. And there's a lot of people, and I know no one, everyone's going to act like they're not surprised. I knew he was going to invade Iran. Nick Fuentes did. He's like the only one that did. So that kid is the only one who really called that this guy was going to go into Iran. If you had said to me, is this guy going to launch a preemptive war in Iran? I would have said no. I remember being on the phone with Barry Weiss the day he won. I was in Miami and I was on the beach and I called her and we chatted briefly and it was just a very nice conversation. I said, what's this guy going to do? And she said, I think he's going to get rid of the DEI shit, which we all thought was stupid. And, you know, he's going to get rid of the DEI stuff and he's going to like, you know, like restore some sense of, you know, sanity to a lot of like Biden era DEI, like that is totally like, you know, was pushing everyone in this country to the political extremes. And he was going to get the economy going and he was going to try to tackle inflation to some degree. And he was going to, was the thought. And I mean, now Barry might've known that there was another plan. She didn't share it with me. She might've known. And I was sitting there in Miami on the phone going, well, yeah, if he does that stuff, great. I said to her, I said, what do you think about gay marriage or this or that? She goes, no, I don't think he's going to like, I don't think he's going to roll back a lot of that stuff. I think he's going to go after the economy. He's going to go after the DEI stuff. He's probably going to pull a lot of the money out of Ukraine and cut some deal. And she said, you know, he supports Israel. He's going to support Israel. And I said, okay. I you know, at that point I was, you know, that was kind of expected. And I said to her, I was like, you think he's going to get a deal done in the Middle East? And she goes, yeah, because that's what he campaigned on. We get a deal done in the Middle East. But I did not think, truly, that somehow he was going to launch a preemptive war in Iran, and then I didn't think we would be kind of losing it. Like, so, like, by the way, drag me all you want, like, for not being omniscient or not being clairvoyant. I had no idea. I had no clue that Iran was going to be able to blow military bases off the earth and we weren't going to defend them. I didn't know that our Gulf allies were going to get attacked and we weren't really going to be able to do that much about it. I had no idea that this was going to go this poorly. I know Miriam Adelson gave him a lot of money. I know a lot of big donors gave him a lot of money. I know they wanted him to support Israel. And the guy's always supported Israel. He's never not supported Israel. That was never a question. This was not a guy that identified with the plight of the Palestinians at any moment in his life. His daughter converted to Orthodox Judaism. His son-in-law, Jared Kushner, is deeply enmeshed in Israel. Like, that was all obvious and it was known. But the idea that this was going to, he was going to back Israel into Iran and into Lebanon and into all of these places, truly is deeply psychotic. And the reason I didn't think it was going to happen was because I always thought there was some, even though he is an erratic figure, I really thought he listened to the market and he cared about money. I thought if there was erratic tendencies he had, they were governed somewhat by this idea that he was kind of a pragmatist in the sense of the economy and money and to see all of that kind of go out the window, because I never thought this guy was an ideologue. Like, this idea that he was like some ideological guy, I don't really think he was. I think he was a guy that like read Ann Coulter's book, Adios America. He's been a protectionist forever. He's always been into tariffs and he thinks the country's being ripped off or whatever. But he read Ann Coulter's book. This is the truth. This is how it happened. He read Ann Coulter's book. That was his biggest issue. People in America felt they were losing ground. They were financially. After Obama had left office, people had lost homes and people hadn't, you know, regained their economic footing. And he was able to kind of make that the central feature of his campaign, which was immigration. He was not always the most eloquent about it, obviously, but he grabbed onto this idea of immigration and trade. And that really started to motivate people. And it was just basically this American nationalist ideal. He wasn't like a Christian nationalist. He'd been married multiple times. He's a gambling tycoon. He was a deeply flawed human being who admitted to it and said, I participated in the scam of this country forever and I know how it works. And that was really refreshing to hear because a lot of people were like, this guy's breaking the fourth wall. Dave Chappelle did a great monologue on SNL about it where he's like, when I heard him say that, I was like, God, this guy came out when they talked about Putin killing people. He goes, we kill a lot of people here too. No one had ever heard anything like this. I'm 41 years old. No one had ever said anything like this on television that was running for office. And by the way, barely anyone said anything that approximated that even in the media. Like that was like, you had to go to like a Barnes and Noble and buy a book that was like a totally like Howard Zinn book to hear anything like that for the most part. They weren't saying that on CNN and they weren't saying it on Fox News. They would debate the Iraq war. They would, whatever. They didn't like Bush. But what he was saying about the nature of the corrupt, you know, oligarchy that ran the country, nobody had said publicly. He then wins an election and then has a pretty, you know, other than the fact that there was like emotional terrorism every day of you know, his tweets and people reacting to him and, you know, all of that. But the reality was, even his detractors were like, well, the economy's pretty good. We're not in wars. He governed kind of like a 90s liberal his first term. I mean, he did the Muslim ban. It was sloppy. It was reversed immediately. There was demagoguery of issues, but he wasn't like this psychopath that people had feared where it was like, we're going to be in a world war. This term is making up for that. This term, he's really like feeling himself. It's like, you know, somebody goes away in school and they get hot over the summer and then they come in, they got a whole new attitude. And you're like, what happened to my friend? And now they're like, now I'm treating you like shit. I got hot. Somebody leaves, your little chubby friend leaves school. They come back and get hot and they don't want to sit with you anymore. And they don't give a fuck about you. In fact, they want to invade Iran. That's what it felt like. It felt like this person who people had identified with, not in the sense that they own their own plane, but in the sense that, like, he was saying things that people felt they couldn't say, and people felt that nobody was allowed to say, which is like the people that run the show here are like hopelessly corrupt. And this second term has been the shit show, is this unimaginable to almost to a point where I could almost, if I wanted to get really crazy here, I almost think it's, is it almost chaos by design? Is there an element of this here that is so crazy and so over the top? And are they trying to induce chaos by design? Are they getting ready? You know what I mean? Like, it's so fucking insane that you have to wonder, is there some part of this that they feel is a necessary step to whatever comes next? And I don't know what that is. And I almost don't even want to think about what that could even be. But is that part of this? Is this, now I don't want to, he's got a real motley crew of people around him that are, they run the gamut from incompetent to nefarious. That being said, even considering how, you know, clumsy and ham-fisted the rollout of all of these things has been, is there at some level, and I don't even know if there is, some method to this madness of complete chaos economically, you know, culturally in the streets? Like, is there some method to this where people are going to see this and take advantage of it? And that they see this as some necessary step to what comes next? And I don't know what that is. That AI governance? Is it let's get rid of people because their husbands put on fake tits and, you know, they're embarrassing and they lie and they're subject to blackmail and they, so are we just going to say, hey, how about AI governance? Because, you know, supercomputers and super intelligent beings, whatever, so, you know, are we going there? You know, is that the next step? AI, is the next step like a centralized Putin style, more autocratic step? Which involves the AI? It's the digital control grid. And the way to usher people into that is to raise the level of chaos so that people are welcoming of this because it will be, by comparison, calmer. You'll lose all your rights. You won't be able to say anything. You won't be able to do certain things you used to be able to do. You're not starting a business, but you're not doing that now. You're not going to own a house, but a lot of people aren't doing that now. Is this the step before that next phase? I don't know. Is there something behind a lot of this that's even darker and more nefarious than the things that you're seeing? And I'm not trying to exempt how clueless somebody like Kesh Patel is or a Pam Bondi or whatever. But it's obvious that they're not running anything. You have to say, if you're an adult, you realize pretty quickly that a lot of that's a show. They're not running anything. Tulsi Gabbard, the director of national intelligence, seems like an important job. Is it? She's the mothership watching Kill Tony. Is it an important job? She didn't want the Iran war. What happened? She was against regime change. What happened? You know, this idea that Iran was not close to nuclear weapons. Well, if she's the director of national intelligence, you'd be like, who the hell are we listening to? It sounds like an important job, is it? I have no problem with, like, her. Like, I've met her. Did I meet her? Maybe I didn't meet her. I don't know. I chatted with her, like, once over, she was promoting some book. She wanted to come on the show. But I don't know. She's the director of national intelligence. It's like a fake job. She, like, goes and reads, like, well, it is the president's job to decide who to attack and when. And it's all right. And then she's, like, in Hawaii doing like, you know, whatever, hula dances or something, whatever. But is that a real job? Does anyone believe Kash Patel's running the FBI? Does anyone believe that? Does anyone believe that any of these people are running anything? The small percentage of these institutions they're running are a mess because they're all idiots. But does anyone believe that they have, like, the actual power, or, like, they're fools? They're fools. It's, like, quite obvious. They're all there for the reason that they are incompetent, that they're, like, a collection of, like, state attorney generals and podcasters and Trump loyalists and sycophants and whatever. But, like, are these people the architects of what's going on right now, or is it worse? Is it something else? And this is being used, and I don't know the answer. I'm just literally asking the question, is this the period of time where people are meant to lose faith in all government? Is that what this time is? Is this the time where we start to introduce things like the draft? We militarize the country. We turn it into a militarized economy. We start taking away people's rights to criticize that. Is this the time that all starts to happen? And the Democrats were going to have this guy die in jail. And they kept prosecuting him and they kept lumping cases. And they gave him a choice, die in jail or become the president. And then a bunch of people showed up to Mar-a-Lago with a lot of money and said, we're going to put you in. And what about this assassination attempt? And what the hell was that? Nobody even knows. He doesn't bring it up. No one brings it up. We don't know what the fuck's going on. So I hope this is as bad as it gets. I hope that it's just this level of incompetence, that you've got a bunch of morons that he picked off television, and that this, we're all just watching a bad reality show that will end. That's the best case scenario, is that you're watching a bad reality show that will end. The worst case scenario is that you're watching a bad reality show that's engineered to be a bad reality show. Because the next thing that's coming is going to be worse, but by comparison, you might think it's better. That's the scarier prospect. And I don't really know the answer. And if you don't like me asking that question, you can suck on my big, fat tits.